Ooh, wait. Okay.
All right, so we'll dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance. This is the first monthly meeting of April, April 14th, 2021 at 1 p.m. And I will call the meeting to order. And first on the agenda is our approval of the agenda. And I'll make a motion that we add to the regular business a C, which would be to debate and create a resolution that would authorize our director, Aaron Berg, to send a letter to our health officer, Jefferson County Health Officer, Dr. John Locke, concerning opening offices and the open public meetings, clarification on open public meetings.
Yeah, don't think we need a motion for that change, just a motion to accept the agenda with the change, right?
Correct.
That's correct.
Oh, yes, that's correct.
We'll request one additional change to the agenda, which would be, we call it an item D, and that's proposed resolution 744-21, ratifying the acceptance of the grant from the FAA.
That's where? Item C?
You can make it.
That'll be D.
Item E.
D?
D as in dog. So C as in Charlie will be the resolution for authorization on the health issue. And then D will be the grant from the FAA. Is that all good?
Yep. I make a motion that we accept the agenda with those two additional items.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Public comments, Karen?
I had one via email, and Pam asked me to read a letter aloud that you all received. Not specifically a comment, but the first was a comment by Linda Fitzgerald about the Gardner boat ramp. And she writes, "Dear Commissioners, I am writing to inform you of our concerns for expanding and improving the Gardner boat ramp area here in Gardner. I personally have lived in Gardner for 23 years. We in Gardner have concerns over safety of the area. We have safety issues already in the area regarding drug dealing. Expanding the boat ramp without consideration for increased safety for the area is not for Gardner. The wildlife area next to the boat ramp is also a concern. The quality of the water must be preserved. The destruction of clam and oyster beds from invasive species from boats must be addressed. The safety issue of location of the boat ramp has also been a concern and brought up by neighbors. The speeding of trucks pulling boats down the hill is an accident waiting to happen. Speed limits are not enforced in rural areas. Our area is not well patrolled. The neighborhood needs to be considered. There are many issues that need to be addressed before any, quote, improvement of the area, unquote, is done. Thank you, Linda Fitzgerald." The letter that Pam just asked me to read is from Connie Gallant, who is president of Olympic Forest Coalition. And she wrote to dear commissioners and staff, she wrote on April 9th, "On behalf of the board of directors of the Olympic Forest Coalition, please be apprised of the comments by us to the Washington Department of Ecology on the matter of NPDES permit for Pacific Seafoods, in parentheses Coast, a tenant of the Port of Port Townsend. Our organization successfully sued in 2016 to require the corporation to apply for and obtain the required NPDES permit. The corporation appealed, and the appellate court upheld the requirement to get a permit. The corporation has applied for a permit 2018 and 2019, but as of this date has not yet submitted its final application documents. In the interim, the unpermitted dumping of effluent into Quilcene Bay continues unabated. The merits of the case are stayed while Coast completes its application for a permit. The public comment period is not yet officially open for the permit. However, our organization wanted to share our perspective with Ecology while the application was under review. We are sharing this information with the port. Respectfully, Connie Gallant, President."
Any other public comments?
So we have two attendees, and if you'd like to make a comment, please raise your hand. And I don't see anyone. It's just two people.
Okay, moving on to consent agenda. Has everybody had a chance to read the consent agenda? Are there any changes? Is there a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I move we accept the consent agenda as presented.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So motion carries, aye. Motion carries unanimously. Part five, the second reading, there is no business. So we'll move on to part six, first reading, there is no business. And we'll move on to part seven, regular business, and the financial, February financials from Abigail.
Thank you, Commissioner Henke. So looking on page 17, we've got the information memo to give some information that's not actually in the financial statement report, starting with accounts payable. I added that from the last meeting based on some comments about the Scarsella invoice, which is outstanding. Normally we would not report on accounts payable because it's part of our reconciliation of cash. It's considered spent. And so it's reduced from cash to give us an unencumbered cash balance. However, we don't have a final billing for this invoice, and it's still being negotiated with the FAA and Reed Middleton and the port and Scarsella. So it has not been put in the accounting system. But based on the numbers that I've been given so far, the worst case scenario is $611,526. So that's an outstanding piece that is financially related we need to know about. Most of the capital expenses, they didn't really change much year to date for February. I think it increased about $5,000 from January. And then we did get the mini excavator, which maintenance is very excited about. They've already started working. Used it for setting up the new stormwater tank that's in the yard and some other things. And something that's not on this report but has been ordered is three more vehicles for operations staff, one for security, one for environmental, and one for the operations manager. And those are on order to be delivered sometime around August. So those are in the budget also. And we don't have to pay for them, of course, till we get them. Cash balances, you've got the comparative there of year to year. And they increased overall, if we look year to date, February by about 800,000. And the bulk of that is, of course, the IDD money that we've received. Let's see. I did speak with Commissioner Petronic yesterday, and she had a suggestion, which I'd like to incorporate with the next memo next month, and that is to maintain information on this memo that includes our total debt service, not just overall, but for this coming year, so that we just have that front and center of what the port obligations are. Long term. So that'll be on the next month's. Let's see, overall operating revenues year to date compared to last year are up about 64,000 or 7%. And the yard is leading the pack in that. And I'm now looking at page 18. And total expenses year to date, when you compare year to year, it's more by 83,000, about 84,000. However, year to date, budget wise, we're actually below budget by about 11,000. So I think we're on track. And then overall for the net income, bottom line, it looks like a big difference of 444,000 between last year and this year. But basically, that's like three components. You've got the FAA grants revenue that received last year, that of course we didn't get this year. And then we also have the timing of paying the taxes this year, which is about 128,000. And then also we paid down the 2020 line of credit in January of this year for $250,000. So when you take those three components into place when comparing year to year, you're about $11,000 ahead. And then looking at the budget, we're down according to the budget. So I think that's about all I have for the financial report. Are there any questions?
I'm working on the how we could be down on the budget compared to the actual.
Well, we didn't have the payoff of the line of credit for $250,000.
Oh, that's why.
That's basically it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because actual business, we're quite a bit ahead.
Right.
In terms of revenue and expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Now, are you planning on doing then a more detailed version of your next month? Our next meeting
for the memo, you mean?
Yeah, so we can. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I'll add that piece that we talked about yesterday with the debt.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good suggestion.
Just a note, you know, as we move into March, in comparison, and now we're in actually in April, but this is February. We're going to start to see the effects of the pandemic on the budget numbers, the year-to-date comparisons. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. I don't know how much we want to play with that. I don't really think we need to, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting how strong our January, February are, and it'll be just interesting to see what happens over the next few months as that effect starts happening.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
No? All right. Moving on to the IDD report, page 22.
So we discussed about this last meeting that I wanted to present the comprehensive report on the IDD, what the total receipts are levied to date. So this will be an ongoing comprehensive report, and then also how the money was spent. So this was my first draft on presenting something like that. You'll see that at the top of page 23, you've got, you know, when the levy was approved, the first year of collection, which was last year, the base year being 2019, the maximum allowable millage rate, and then the estimated IDD levy overall through the history or the life of the levy. And then below that, year to year, we have the budget to actual for the levy receipts. Other taxes, did not budget for that because it's variable year to year. Plus in the first year, I didn't know that we'd be getting that money. So there's that. And then with the capital expenses down below, you've got what was in the budget and then compared to what was actually spent. I think one of the ideas that Pam had yesterday when we talked also was to give like a short and sweet reminder on each of those projects going forward in the next report. That would kind of give an idea of, okay, so the jetty we scheduled in 2020, which would have been in the fall of 19, $590,000 for the jetty project. Where were we? What were we thinking for 2020? And what happened in 2020 that we didn't get there? That sort of thing. Or for instance, with the linear dock, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but I think that for that jetty piece, we were thinking, you know, finishing full design, full permitting, and then getting to the bid process all in 2020 so that we'd be actually constructing in the following year.
That's exactly right.
That didn't happen. And then for Boathaven, the linear dock electrical work, what's good to know about this is the budget for that. We didn't meet the budget, we got under budget, and the project is completed. So it's not like there's more expenditures on that particular budget. But that kind of information for each of the projects is something that Pam suggested we provide in the next month's bill report.
Is that how the taxes come in? They come in month by month like that? There's not
it trickles in throughout the year, all the property taxes do, because it just really depends on when people pay their taxes. It depends on when houses are sold and taxes get paid, if somebody's in arrears and hasn't paid their taxes, or it's just a reconciliation for, real estate sales. But the bulk of it is April and October, the due dates.
Do you know, Aaron or Eric, I mean, at some point, this is an industrial development district expense to the county. And as I recall, I mean, it can't just be infrastructure repair. It has to be industrial development. Is there a ratio that needs to be applied there? Are we, if all we're doing is fixing things with this money, do we eventually get called on the carpet for that by someone?
So, maybe Seth wants to weigh in here as well, but Commissioner, I'm aware of no statutory limitation as long as the monies are spent for capital projects within the industrial development district boundaries. I think there's been, we've made representations to the public that the notion was not that it would all be spent on repair and rehabilitation of existing infrastructure, but I think that was those were representations made by the commission and are not found in the statute.
Okay. I think what the intent, the way the intent of the legislation has been satisfied by other ports has been that things like repair to capital infrastructure has been seen as job preservation, industrial based preservation. So it's kind of somewhat meets the intent of being industrial development in that it's not industrial devolution. So.
Okay, any other questions on the IDD budget numbers and actual numbers? All right, moving on to part C.
Actually, Commissioner Hanke, excuse me, I did want to get some feedback from the commission. Whether they'd like to see this quarterly, semi-annually, whether they would like some input as to when we reconcile the funding, whether it be quarterly, semi-annually.
I would like to see it quarterly, especially as we are approaching our budget season. With the projects outlined as we had talked about, so that we know how much, where we are at in the project financially as well as time-wise, even though it's all uncertain, but just a rough estimate. I think we need to stay on top of it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. So we'll actually then, I would think, Abigail, get a report next month, the first meeting in May, and that would be for the first quarter of 21, and then subsequently in September, is that right? Or no?
In August.
Yes, June, May, April, May, June, and then we would have a report first in August. Yes, correct. Yeah. Okay.
I guess the one additional thing I'd like to say about IDD money is that it's not forever. And if we get used to using IDD money to do things that should be covered in lease costs, like maintenance of buildings and maintenance of facilities. We're just cruising for a very dark day when the IDD money runs out. If we use the IDD money for actually doing development on projects or bring in new capital, new revenue in, sources, then that benefit goes on. So,
yeah, and I would echo. I agree wholeheartedly with Bill, and I think that was well said, Bill.
I would like to, for the record, read the summary statement of why we asked for the IDD.
With respect, Pam, I asked for the IDD, and I was out there meeting the public and telling the public what we were going to do with it. So keep that in mind.
Our port wrote a letter to our public, and in summary, one paragraph, the port's IDD, first IDD in the 1960s, helped to repair basic infrastructure. Now, 60 years later, the Port Commission is again asking the voters to support port infrastructure and facilities. This will enable the port to maintain the infrastructure to meet the challenges posed. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. There's more to it than that.
Oh, yes.
And to continue to cast it in that way, I think is destructive to the ends of the levy.
Abigail, could you know what we might do in order to simplify your statement here, your IDD tax levy statement, page 23?
Uh-huh.
I don't think we need to see the month by month. I mean, it doesn't do, there's no reason to show us that. You could maybe do it quarterly, or maybe just do the, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
maybe.
I could roll it up.
There's such variation on it. It doesn't mean anything really. It's just
as
the money comes in. So it doesn't really need to be seen.
Sure.
If my other colleagues concur on that. I think an expansion, like Pam said, of the capital expenses and what's going on there. I think that's well put, well said.
Great,
thank you. So let's move on to point, what are we on here? Point C, the resolution for Aaron to write a letter to John Locke. I'll make that resolution that we're gonna ask Aaron to write a letter to Dr. Locke clarifying whether we can go with the federal, with the state's health policy, or we're going to continue on with Dr. Locke's county policy.
And just a clarification, what you're talking about is just a motion as opposed to a resolution.
Yes, right? I'm sorry, just a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion. I guess, we can have some discussion after the second.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so motion's made, seconded, all those, or discussion.
Okay. I guess I would like staff to do a little bit of grounding for Dr. Locke, maybe what our intentions are is it, Seth, do you know, are we bound by the local health officers' strictures beyond what the governor's office has set down?
I'll tell you, I had a discussion with the prosecuting attorney for the county. That is certainly the county's position, that the health director's authority is broad enough to control not only the individual citizens of the county, but also other municipal entities in the county with a health directive of this sort. I have not yet been asked and to have it independently read the cases that they're relying on for that authority to see if I think it is as broad as that. But I will tell you that you certainly would set up a confrontation with the health officer in the county, given their interpretation, if we believe it's contrary to that.
Yeah, I guess what I'd like to engender is not so much a confrontation, but a request of Dr. Locke to review amending his recommendations for public meetings congruent with his relaxation of other public meetings and private meetings like restaurants and that kind of thing. So something to put the public meetings relationship with other things going on in the county.
I would like to let folks know that this Friday, the Board of County Commissioners and the Health Department will be meeting too. It will be a topic of discussion. And so I personally would like to wait and wait, and I'm getting an echo. Okay, I'd like to be able to, are you guys getting an echo?
No.
Maybe we should mute some, thank you. Okay, so topic of discussion this Friday, Board of County Commissioners Health Department. This will be a topic of discussion. And so I think it is in our best interest to observe, contribute if we can during this meeting individually, but please let's go in as a city, county, port, PUD together on this instead of breaking apart. And certainly it's a decision that I would rather have be countywide than one jurisdiction independently.
Just to clarify, so the city's already moving forward with opening up their building, and we're not advocating going against Dr. Locke. We are simply asking Aaron to write a letter to Dr. Locke for clarification, which I think is merited, and it would actually add to the conversation this Friday if we instructed Aaron today to do that letter. That would, I think, further add to the discussion with BCC as far as, you know, here's what the port wants to do. My goodness, our church has been meeting for 10 months now, and now we're at 50%. And, we've been hauling people at 50%. So it's kind of like, okay, I don't think it's wrong for us to simply ask Dr. Locke, could we get a point of clarification on this?
I don't know that the city, what I heard you say is that the city is opening up its offices to the public. I need clarification, and I have not heard that the city is considering at this point or has had any discussion on opening up their public, their chambers meeting.
Yeah, I meant the building, Pam. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so I feel really strongly that that our city, county, port should weigh in on doing this together.
Yeah.
And here's our first discussion on it, and here's my thoughts.
Okay, I think that if I were Dr. Locke, I'd like to hear from, because I'm going to be speaking, if I'm Dr. Locke, I'm speaking to the Board of County Commissioners. I'm not speaking to the IDD or the IGC rather. So, if the city, the port, the PUD offer kind of what we would like to see or what our direction is, or, you know, not an ultimatum to Dr. Locke, not a this is what we're going to do, lump it or like it. Just a information to Dr. Locke about what we would like to see and what our reasons are. And that's something for him to bring up with the Board of County Commissioners when they have that discussion. Otherwise, it's going to be, they're going to have a discussion without our input.
It may be helpful for the commission to know that the county commissioners don't have a role in this process.
Right. So
it's a health officer's directive, independent of the county commissioners. Just as a point of reminder, on June 12th of last year, the Port Townsend wrote to Dr. Locke, again, I think, ahead of the other folks, specifically seeking authority and clarification that we could reopen the Point Hudson RV Park. And our letter ended with, we're ready to do this. Alternatively, if there's an epidemiological basis for continuing to maintain this closure, we're supportive, but we'd like to clearly understand why closing our RV park is making a difference at this time. The context today being that indoor meetings at 50% occupancy are 100% unrestricted, except in the form of government meetings.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, are you aware of any other counties that are, or governmental organizations that are having open public meetings in person?
Yes.
As am I, a couple of my other clients.
Probably all the ones east of the Cascades.
Well, Skagit County has folks meeting in person as well. And I think, you know, Seth probably interacts with more now than I do, but what's your sense, Seth?
Yeah, a number of my other ports have started, they don't have this county overlay you guys have started holding their meetings with an in-person component and the Zoom component. Obviously you still have to maintain that, but they have gone to that with the, as the state restrictions have lifted, they've gone to those in-person meetings.
Any more discussion? All those in favor of having Aaron write this letter? Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion passes. Moving on to part D, grant from FAA for, Eric, I'll let you take this on.
So I'll just keep this very brief. I think we inadvertently got ahead of ourselves a little bit in executing a grant agreement from the FAA that essentially functions as stimulus money to small general aviation airports throughout Washington. Most small airports, or I should say mini small airports throughout the state, are getting the same amount. It's essentially $13,000 to smaller airports to help cover the economic hardships suffered during the pandemic year. And the monies are eligible primarily for COVID response personnel, and also for debt service, I believe. And it's a very small amount, but we went ahead and executed the agreement without first having put a resolution before you. We'd like to ratify the action taken. I think almost all of the monies that we will receive under this grant, we imagine being used to defray personnel costs largely associated with mowing and maintenance out at the JCIA. So apologize for getting out over our skis on this one, but we're requesting ratification and confirmation from the commission on the action previously taken by the executive director in accepting the grant.
I move we, oh, and Pam just...
I was going to move.
Pam moved. I seconded.
I move that we approve the attached resolution 744-21, ratifying the action of the executive director in executing this.
What she said.
And a seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Staff comments. Aaron.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with the commission that we turned the keys over to the boat school. I think that was last week now. So if you hop on our Facebook page, you'll see a COVID-friendly key ceremony involving a boat hook. Betsy and I were not closer than 6 feet apart, even with our masks off as we turned the keys over. We were pretty excited to get in the space and start to figure out how we're going to use it. Also, we selected Protect to support our pyrolysis investigation study. So getting that work kicked off. And finally, just wanted to give you a heads up that we're working on some updated language to the delegation resolution to bring back in the near future. Having looked with it for a little while, we've identified a few areas where we think some improvements could be made. So we're working on that, plan to bring that back to you soon. And that's it. Otherwise, it's a rather lovely day here in Port Townsend, a good day to get outside. So I will not delay that for anybody who might have that opportunity after this meeting.
Eric.
So I might delay it, but as briefly as possible. So I wanted to give you an update on where things stand with respect to the new boatyard general permit. As the commission is aware, State Department of Ecology is in the process of issuing a new and substantially revised version of the boatyard general permit that would govern stormwater discharges here at Boat Haven. The comment deadline on the draft permit closes at midnight this Friday, and the new permit would go into effect the 1st of August of this year. Notably, as it affects us here at Boat Haven, the draft permit really quite dramatically lowers the benchmark for copper from 147 micrograms per liter down to 15. It also lowers benchmarks for zinc, lead, and adds a turbidity monitoring requirement that hasn't been there, at least for a while. We, along with Insight Strategic Partners and Joe Kalmar of Landau, had a Zoom meeting with James Hovis, the permit writer at Ecology, to ask questions and better understand the rationales supporting some of the changes, particularly the change in the copper benchmark, and to clearly communicate to him the immense compliance challenge that this represents for us, both substantively as well as financially. Mike and also Parametrics, Brandon Ball and Joe Kalmar of Landau have all pulled together preliminary engineering cost estimates to help us figure out what will be required in the way of improvements to reliably meet the new standards. And we think that number is about 2.5, 2.6 million in additional improvements to meet this dramatically strengthened standard. We're currently working with Landau to submit detailed comments before the comment deadline passes, and we're going to be stressing the following, essentially that number one, we absolutely share Ecology's goal of keeping the marine waters of the state clean and healthy for aquatic life. At the same time, we're really concerned about the scientific basis and regulatory authority underpinning some of the benchmark changes, particularly copper. Our current system obviously can't meet the new standard without substantial and currently unfunded improvements, and that both time and funding support are needed to achieve compliance with the proposed new standards. Finally, we have submitted a request to Representative Theringer for a $2 million capital appropriation in this year's capital budget at the state to help fund these improvements and to defend the 400 jobs or more dependent on this infrastructure here at Boat Haven. Any questions on that before I proceed?
So, oh, go ahead, Pete.
Have you discussed with Seth any legal challenges to this?
No.
And why not? I mean, as Seth knows, in another area that I'm involved in, I mean, a lot of times agencies will push pretty hard and they will push beyond their legal authority And unless you push back, they'll just take the apple and run. So why wouldn't we first, I mean, try to enjoin some other parties that are going to be affected by this and go after Ecology on this? I mean, the standards that they are promoting are better than drinking water. So that just seems unattainable. I mean, sure, I'm sure we can do it engineering wise, but it seems arbitrary. And it would be interesting to know if there was a legal challenge to this.
Well, I guess I would respond by saying, first and foremost, we're working on technical comments to try to get Ecology to reflect on the rationales and the statutory authority, as well as the scientific rationales underpinning their decision, which is yet to be made. What we have is a draft permit. It's not formally been issued yet. So I think there's an opportunity for us to submit comments and await and see what, if any, modifications Ecology takes to the draft before it becomes final. I think you're absolutely right, Commissioner Henke, that we'll see what response Ecology has and determine the best path forward after there is an appealable action that has been taken. We're not quite there yet.
And from a legal process, Eric is exactly right. You need to participate in this comment period first to give yourself a voice in the process. And then if Ecology takes the action that you're not in favor of, despite that, then we can look at your appeal period. It wouldn't start until there's an action to actually appeal, which there isn't yet. And so once that decision is final, we can take a look at those issues.
Okay.
I have a question.
Pam?
Is there any participation with other ports in putting together the research to be able to weigh in on this draft?
Well, what I would say is that Mike and I, as well as I think Terry Taylor as well, participated in a couple of NMTA webinars that also involved WPPA. And they came out with recommendations as to what comment letters should address. But that pretty much is the extent of coordination at this point, although we have had communication with and shared information with the Port of PA.
And the Port of Bellingham that has yards and, okay. All right.
So we should, as far as I know, the copper is principally bottom paint when bottom paint gets removed. Is that where the copper content is principally?
Yes.
And are commercial vessels still using copper-based bottom paints? That was kind of closed out for recreational vessels, I don't know, a couple decades ago. So we should be like tailing out the end of that.
I think it was phased out for recreational. I don't want to speak without knowledge. It's my recollection, however, that it has not yet been phased out for commercial.
Okay.
Any other comments, Eric?
Just real briefly, Coal Seam Planning, wanted to give you an update that we now have Jeannie McMacken under contract with us to assist with the Coal Seam Planning effort. As you will recall from our January meetings, the Commission's direction at your second meeting in January was to really focus on a deliberate kind of community outreach and active listening process in 2021. Ms. McMacken and I will be scheduling meetings with each of you individually over the next couple of weeks to discuss the types of questions that you want help in answering from the community. And that will form the basis of essentially a questionnaire or survey that we'll be administering. And then also to identify community members and stakeholders that you would wish us to specifically reach out to and hear from during the process. Boathaven Planning, just a real quick update. We've met on a couple of occasions now with the planning group that includes Mark Burns, Stephen Gale, Dave Griswold, Bertram Levy, and Gwendolyn Tracy. our focus has been twofold. Number one, establishing goals and objectives for the effort with a real focus on the sustaining the long-term viability of Boat Haven, increasing marine trades jobs, and also the port's net operating income, as well as the revenues generated by marine trades. And then also identifying immediate, near, medium, and long-term action items, operational and capital, that would help us achieve those identified objectives with a real focus on kind of low-hanging fruit actions to help us bend the needle in the right direction and achieve the identified goals. And then the kind of the obstacles, identifying the obstacles to each so that we can better prioritize what action items to recommend to you. And then finally, in the interest of ensuring that the interests and concerns of everyone at Boat Haven, including the small end of the yard, are part of the discussion, we've asked, and Dave Thompson has agreed to become part of the planning group going forward. So that's it.
Cool. Abigail.
You have to turn on your microphone, Abigail.
Here we go. So we're still looking to fill the two seasonal CSR positions for the summer. We started a little early this year, but we don't want to get caught like we were last year. So that's going on. We're about 2 weeks in from having Molo online with RV reservations. It's going really well. Customers are pretty happy. They're learning how to use it. And when they don't know how, they call staff and they learn how to use it. There's a few tweaks we're having Molo do to it, but overall it's a huge improvement to operations. And along those same lines, as part of the assistance with Point Hudson, we had implemented a voicemail to email text that would happen instead of them getting and having to listen to a whole bunch of voicemails. They get them in email now. And that has helped them tremendously. So now Boat Haven would like to have that. And so we're working on that. And we're hoping for May 1st, being able to have the moorage at Point Hudson be offered online. So we're working with Molo on that too. And then otherwise just completed the Enduris renewal application. And I went ahead and CC'd that data to Clear Risk Solutions, which I think I have this right, Aaron. I think they also do many cities that are with the AWC. Is that correct?
No, not AWC has their own risk pool. Clear Risk has the CIAW, the Cities Association of Washington. They do a bunch of cities, towns, and special purpose districts, fire districts, port districts, et cetera. So we're, our objective there was to get a competitive quote from another pool, another risk pool like Enduris, to ensure that we're getting good value for our dollars.
Right, so they might be able to give us a good competitive quote. They're not sure at this point whether they'll be able to provide the ancillary services that we need for our marinas, in our yard, in our airport, but they're looking into that and we'll get back to us.
Cool. Mike.
There we go. Just a brief report on some of the things we're working on in terms of maintenance. This year, the mowing season is upon us and earlier than usual. So we've got quite a bit of mowing out at the airport, at the point, and then also here in our boat yard. So you can probably start seeing our mowers out there being more active. I think we've mowed the airport now three times. So it's, again, early in the season. So we're diverting some of our staff to some of those activities. As Aaron mentioned, we finished up the building remodel, the Skookum building. So we're transitioning to other things. One of those things is a remodel of the moorage office out at Point Hudson, or the adjacent office to the moorage office out at Point Hudson. And then also looking at the Pygmy building and transitioning space in there for commissioner meetings in addition to maybe some events that could be held at that facility. So those things that we're working on there. Update on the jetty project at the Point Hudson. We've got some good news and bad news. We did get a response and comments back from the Army Corps of Engineers on our joint aquatic permit. So there's a few things that we're working on there to complete that application in terms of additional information they've requested. And then the bad news is we still have not been assigned a biologist through NOAA and Fish and Wildlife. And we heard this week that the manager of that department is now transitioning to another job. So there's going to be a little bit of a upheaval there in that office that may affect what we're trying to do in terms of getting permits for the project. So, as we keep moving through the calendar year, more and more, I think we're coming to the realization that, starting this project in the fall with the understanding that once we get the permits, we need to still do our funding agreements. It's getting further and further away in terms of an achievable goal. So we're currently looking at probably a season in 2022 construction, and then a season in 2023 construction extending into 24, early in 24, and most likely a two-phase project as we look at the schedule and how much work needs to be done both on the north and the south jetty. So we're kind of positioning ourselves in that direction without giving up complete hope yet, because we still need to keep the pedal down on getting these permits. We need the permits so that we can get the funding agreement. So we don't want to the agencies to lose interest in this project. So we're still pushing as best we can in the direction of getting those permits. And with that, I'll if you have any questions or comments.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Seth, do you have any comments?
Nothing for me this week.
All right. Commissioner comments. Bill or Pam, who wants to go first? You guys want to arm wrestle?
I'll go first.
You forgot.
Spent almost all day. Oh, Karen.
Karen.
I just wanted to say that you forgot somebody. That's all I wanted.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Karen.
I just wanted to comment that it was so nice yesterday at the airport. I spent a big part of the day working on my airplane. So,
well, there you go. That's beautiful.
It may fly again.
I want a tour of it sometime.
Absolutely.
Pam?
Well, I was working on my boat yesterday, Bill. It was so nice.
Awesome.
Okay, so I attended the Marine Resource Committee meeting, monthly meeting. There was a kelp biologist discussing research, and the research is showing that there's a significant decline in the Salish Sea for kelp beds. So I think it's an opportune time for the discussion that we had this morning in our workshop regarding our port taking environmental leadership and joining other ports for the Salish Sea. And not only with, kelp, but stormwater and everything that's being affected right now or continuing to be affected. The Marine Resource Committee will be putting out the no anchor buoys this next month, as we see, as we usually do. And then we have a working waterfront interview this Friday, and it's just the interview that will be posted and published the following week, but it's going to focus on welcoming the boat school. So Betsy Davis will be part of it, Kevin Ritz, Aaron, and myself welcoming them and seeing how we can create that education to job really well. Let's see. And then I don't really talk about this very much, but one of the, my most favorite meetings that our weekly meeting is an advisory group of citizens that I meet with every week. And I just wanted to let folks know that if anyone wants to, it's kind of like coffee hour, but at 5 o'clock on Mondays for just 1 hour. If anybody wants to weigh in and talk about things, to just give me an email, give me their email, and I'd be happy to join in. That's been a real great place to just hash out what people are thinking and give input for our port. And then I'll be working on following up on getting a guest speaker for our workshop. Not Jacques Cousteau, but Jacques
White.
White. Okay. All right.
You know what you might do, Pam, if you really want to do that, is I can have Sarah contact you, or you could contact Sarah at the office, our office, Puget Sound Express, and she knows him well, so she can get you in touch with him, and or she could be a go-between or whatever you would like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah. Yeah, have Sarah send me her email. That would be
great. I will. Okay. All right.
Oh, and Marine Resource Committee, I announced that we will be working towards seeking input from the Quilcene community, and I got a flood, and that was just at the Marine Resource Committee. And I got a flood of very excited, interested people. So I'm just shooting all those emails to Eric, and Eric and Jeannie can handle that. But super positive. You know, everybody's like, please, I let me in on the Quilcene input for community planning, or port property planning. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. My only comment, I just got back from vacation last night. We were on the Outer Banks off of North Carolina down to Cape Hatteras. Mike, you'd be interested to know there's a huge public works project going on to connect the Outer Banks, redo all of the bridges. And it's a very sensitive area. These banks, as probably some of you know, they move around a lot. And so you really can't put a road on top of them and expect it to last very long, especially during hurricane season. So they're constructing these really amazing bridges. They are piling bridges, but they have to be far enough off the water to allow a fairly large ship through. And they can't do any of it with spud barges. So they have to do it all from bridge ends. And so they're literally, just like Mike, you had talked about at one point in terms of the breakwater, constructing the breakwater, they are building these bridges from two different ends with a rail system on the outside of the project, so that they can move giant rail cars and all of the equipment that's used to drill in the pilings and lay down the beams is put down with all of this, with these big crane operations mounted on these cars. Very, very interesting project if you ever wanna look something up along that line.
Now I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, thank you. It's fascinating. So with that, our next regular meeting will be Wednesday, April 28th at 5:30 p.m. And it will be via Zoom. And there is no executive session today. So that will be the end of our meeting. We'll see you all later.
Thank you. See ya.